Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Paravatakacharya also Tata Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace Savaya. Chadanana Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupad Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupad Kijai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Shidahuidas Thakur Kijai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindikajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopnath Shaim Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Srimati Dulasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindigajai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Omagana Timananda Shah Gananjana. Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the transcendental knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today is a day called Visvarup. No bugs? Okay. He used to give me garlands with bugs on them. So it's called, careful, Tulsi. Visvarup Mahotsava. Mahotsava, Utsava means like a festival. Mahotsava means big festival. You got it? So it's the day that Visvarup, the brother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, took sannyas. And so why is it important? We'll describe why. So just a little history here, that Lord Chaitanya's mother and father, Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, they had eight daughters before they had Visvarup and Lord Chaitanya. But these eight daughters, unfortunately, passed away. And so finally they had Visvarup, who was the older brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is considered to be an incarnation of Balaram, an expansion of Lord Nityananda. So in one sense, we can say Lord Nityananda is, in a very real sense, the elder brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, because he's non-different than Visvarup. So, what happened is that Visvarup, being the elder brother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, began to associate with many of the Vaishnavas in Navadvip, particularly Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya was holding daily Bhagavatam recitals and talking about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And actually, part of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is something called Vairagya. For those of you who don't know what Vairagya means, it's the opposite of Ragya. And if you don't know what Ragya means, it means Rajagun, you know, passion. So the opposite of passion, what is passion? Wanting to enjoy this material world. We can be passionate for Krishna, and that's not material passion. That's called utsahand, right? Enthusiasm. Just like Kumari Saki is very enthusiastic all the time. He's like, wow, I wish I was at one-tenth of that enthusiasm. So passion in the material world means, you know, so much do I have today, so much more will I get tomorrow, I want more and more. And then you become very greedy as a result, in reference to a story we're going to tell today. So, Visvarup was with Advaitacharya, every day he would hear about the pastimes of Krishna and about renunciation from the material world, you know, sambandha, avideya, and prayojana, the three aspects of spiritual knowledge. And it's described that sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go over there as a little, he was just a little kid, you know, like 5 years old, just to tell Visrup to come home and take prasadam. But so he would go there and say, Visrup, please, Mommy and Daddy want to see you. Because Mommy and Daddy happened to be Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra. And Visrup would come home, but he'd only stay for a few moments. And then he'd just rush back to hear about Krishna from Advaitacharya. So as he spent many years hearing about Krishna from Advaitacharya, he developed detachment from this world. Of course, the detachment from this world that we want is something called yukta vairagya, not just vairagya. Yukta vairagya means, as we hear in the Isopanishad, does anyone know that verse? Om? I'm sorry. Yeah, Ishavasham. Yeah. That everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everybody is given a quota. So Prabhupada said we can work in this Ishavasha. It's not loud enough. I have the thing right here.
Please.
All right, turn it louder then. Anyway, so Prabhupada said we should work in this Ishavasha consciousness. And of course, that's also, that's known as Yukta Vairagya. Prapancha Katya Bhujya Hari Sambandha Vashna Mamukshabhi. That if one gives up something that can be used for Krishna, then that's false renunciation. Prabhupada called that Falgu Vairagya. The word Falgu, he said, is in reference to a river called the Falgu River. And that river appears to be dry, but if you just go right below the surface, there's water running. So sometimes, what that means is that someone appears to be very renounced, but right below the surface, there's lust, anger, and greed. You know, they're dressed like a sannyasi and, you know, speak like a sannyasi, but right below the surface, there's a lot of other garbage. So anyway, that's Falgu Vairagya. So we should be engaged in Yukta Vairagya. So anyway, Visvarupa, he was hearing this whole philosophy, and then one time he was in his house and in the room next door, his parents were discussing something that was really upsetting to him. And that was, they were planning, does anyone know? To get him married. They were thinking, you know, we got to find a nice girl for Visvarup. You know, he's getting to that age, you know, and he's getting too much education from that Advaitacharya. It may spoil his human form of life. So he heard this, and he thought, oh my God, I got to get out of here as soon as possible. So in the middle of the night, he just left. And the next morning, actually, they didn't find Visvarup. And he became Shankaranya Swami at that particular point. And so what happened is several things happened. The first thing that happened is, I want to read something from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is a direct translation. My dear mother and father, Lord said, it is very good that Visvarup has accepted the sannyasa order, for thus he has delivered his father's family and his mother's family. But of course, I'm not trying to encourage everyone to take sannyas. By serving Krishna, which is the real sannyas, as Krishna describes in the Gita, a renunciate or real sannyasi does not light no fire nor do any work like that. A real sannyasi is ready to do anything Krishna wants to serve Krishna, whether it requires building a building or preaching, or even as like Prabhupada did, because Prabhupada was really detached. Prabhupada was even showing the ladies how to wear saris. I don't do that. I don't know how to do it, and I'm not going to do it. I guarantee. But Prabhupada, is that in the beginning days, Prabhupada even showed Jadurani how to wear it. Sorry, even I heard the story that Jadarani one time was really, really sick in Los Angeles. Couldn't move. She was on a wheelchair. They brought her up to see Prabhupada. They carried her up the stairs to see Prabhupada in Los Angeles. She crawled. And she was going to see this bogus doctor in Los Angeles. Many times the devotees get into really bogus New Age doctors. You know, many times that happens. And there was another time in India that Prabhupada said a particular Ayurvedic doctor was bogus and nonsense. But anyway, so she crawled up to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very concerned, and he put his hand on her head, on her forehead actually, touching her forehead. You know, the sannyasi doing that. And he said, "Your doctor's bogus." Said, "You'll be all right." So she gave him the doctor. The doctor was just macrobiotic, you know, just brown rice, you know. It may be good for cats, brown rice, but not for human. Anyway, I take brown rice once in a while. So just the brown rice, you know, like macrobiotic. And then within a day or two, she was jumping up and down. So you know, anyway, that's Yukta Vairagya. So, getting to the point is that one's family becomes liberated by one taking up Krishna consciousness, not necessarily by taking sannyas, or taking sannyas in a real spirit. You know, the essence of sannyas is, in any ashram, to dedicate yourself fully to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be detached from society, friendship, and love. You know, not being deterred by all these different factors. So Lord Chaitanya said, it is good. He delivered both his father's family and mother's family. And then very soon after that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took some betel nuts that were offered to the deities and fell unconscious. This is a story in Chaitanya Bhagavad also. And when he took these betel nuts, his mother and father got really upset. And then the Lord revealed to his mother and father that Visvarup took me away from here. And he requested me also to accept sannyas. You know, that really upset his mother and father when they heard that. And he said, I replied to Visvarup, this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I have a helpless father and mother, and also I'm but a child. What do you know about the sannyas? What do I know about the sannyas order of life? Later on, I shall become a householder and thus serve my parents. For this action will be very much satisfied Lord Narayan and his wife, the goddess of fortune. Then, this is in Lord Chaitanya's vision, Visvarupa returned me home and requested, offer thousands and thousands of obeisances to my mother, Sachi Devi. So I'm looking, I don't think I'll read any more about this. I'll just tell more stories. So then another thing happened that was very interesting regarding Visvarupa Sannyas is that Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, was always blaming Advaitacharya. You preach renunciation to my poor son. And she used to say, let me turn up my phone. She used to say very critical words about Advaitacharya. She said, Advaitacharya, you're called Advaita, which means non-dual. You know, Dvaita means dual, Advaita means non-dual. And she said, you are actually Dvaita. Now, what does that mean? That means you are actually two-faced. That you act nicely with me, but actually you're encouraging my children to leave home. And because of that, later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving love of God to all the devotees asked, is Sachi Mata going to get love of God? And Lord Chaitanya said, no. And that's Lord Chaitanya's mother, remember. He said, no, she has blasphemed Advaitacharya. And so then she dove and touched Advaitacharya's feet, and Advaitacharya dove and touched her feet. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, you can have love of God. So later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to find what had happened to his brother, went to South India, and he found that his brother had passed away, or, you know, left this world, and it's described that he you could say one sentence, merge into Lord Nityananda, because he's non-different from Lord Nityananda. So now I want to talk about sannyas more, because we already described what real sannyas is, but there's a particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam that helps us develop a renounced spirit. And this is the 11th canto, chapter 23, which is entitled the Song of the Avanti Brahmana. Now, the reason I'm making reference to this is because within this Song of the Avanti Brahmana is what many of us consider to be the sannyas mantra, not the sannyas gayatri. When someone takes sannyas, that is, you get your staff and your saffron dhoti, and then you get a chance to eat all the mahaprasadam. So, which unfortunately I can't eat anymore, but when someone takes sannyas, they get all these external signs. But that is not actually what sannyas is, all these external signs. So anyway, so when we take sannyas in ISKCON, we're actually taught one of the mantras in this particular chapter. Now, we also get a different Gayatri mantra, which I'm not going to give you all of you, because I want you to all be happy householders in Krishna consciousness. But the Gayatri mantra refers to, anyway, taking, it's a very intimate mantra that the sannyasis get, and it's in reference to taking shelter of the gopis. That's actually what the sannyas mantra means, you know, taking shelter of the gopis in Vrindavan. So, because that's the mood of someone renounced, and also someone dedicated to the Supreme Person and the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like Prabhupada told Ramaswar, that the preaching of Krishna consciousness, particularly was a reference to the book distribution, was in the mood of the gopis. It's interesting about the books. I mean, another, because I've been, every day I watch the memories of devotees about Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was so adamant about not changing his books. Ramaswara Prabhu was telling these stories of how the artist had painted new pictures for the books, and which were of a higher, let's say, material quality than the old pictures in the Krishna book and in the Bhagavatam and Isopanishad. Actually, and even in Isopanishad, he wanted to put a picture of Radha and Krishna on the cover of Isopanishad, and Prabhupada got really angry. He said, I've chosen this picture. How can you change? You Westerners are always trying to change things. And the reason Prabhupada put the picture of Vishnu in the Isopanishad, it was really interesting, that he wanted the Isopanishad to appeal to everybody in India. And if you put just Krishna, to all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, and if you put Krishna there, that would exclude, let's say, certain people from being interested, like in the Ramanuja Sampradaya and other places from being interested. So Prabhupada, well, he planned out things perfectly. Even as to the size, Ramaswara was describing the size of the books, how many pages the book would have, the pictures the book would have. And Prabhupada, you know, there's these stories about Prabhupada getting angrier and angrier at Ramaswara for wanting to change different pictures. You know, just the pictures. Even pictures that were actually the same, they were 100 times better than the other, excuse me, than the old pictures. Just give me a second. I'm all right. I don't need water. So talking about the Avanti Brahman story, which is really interesting to me. So this story, I'm just going to make reference to the chapter summary a little bit, not read it. This particular story is about a Brahmin in Avantipur. And this Brahmin really was a little cruel to his family. He was really, like, avaricious. So he was stingy. Extremely stingy. And he was a merchant. Actually, he's a Brahmin that functioned as a merchant. And so as a result, his wife and family were deprived of many of the aspects of enjoyment that they desired. And they became actually very resentful of him. because, I mean, this is showing the material love. And love between the devotees is not the same. Believe me, I'm not preaching against, I have to just make it clear, I'm not preaching against grahastha life and Krishna consciousness, or else this will be the last class I give here. So anyway, but they became very upset with him. And basically, after some time, his family just decided to take all of his wealth away. There's an interesting story in the Jiva Dharma about that, too. How you had this couple, and they had accumulated wealth, and what happened is that they had hidden some wealth, and their sons also took on the same qualities that they had. And their sons basically just wanted to get rid of them because they were so stingy, and they, anyway, whatever. And the sons were also stingy. So they told their sons, they had four sons, they told their sons and their sons' wives that whoever takes care of us the best will actually get this hidden wealth that we have that you don't know about. And so the sons all met together and the wives met together, and they decided, well, let's just send the old people to Mayapur. And when they are on their way to Mayapur, we'll just dig up in the bedroom, we'll find all the wealth. And so they're on their way to Mayapur, and they heard what their sons had done and the sons' wives had done. And they thought, we got to go back. They actually love us. And there was a Vaishnavi with them who told them, that, are you crazy? If you go back, they'll kill you. And so they went on to Mayapur, and even though they were stingy before because they were associating with the Holy Dham and the great sages there, they became renounced. So what we're talking about is renunciation, not necessarily the formal order of sannyas. That's why I told the Jiva Dharma story. So anyway, so he began to consider his whole life like that, and he was thinking, you know, so much endeavor I've made, and then nobody loves me. So then he became very determined to engage in the devotional service of the Lord, hearing or understanding about this material world. And so we're going to read some of the verses culminating with his with the famous sannyas verse. Okay. And this is really interesting. Just a few of the verses, beginning with text 52. If the soul himself were the cause of happiness and distress, then we could not blame others, since happiness and distress, he's talking about happiness and distress, would simply be the nature of the soul. According to this theory, nothing except the soul actually exists. And if we were to perceive something besides the soul, that would be illusion. Therefore, since happiness and distress do not actually exist in this concept, then why become angry at oneself or others? And if we examine the hypothesis that the planets are the immediate cause of suffering and happiness, then also, where is the relationship with the soul, which is eternal? After all, the effect of the planets applies only to those things that have taken birth. Expert astrologers have, moreover, explained how the planets are only causing pain to each other. Therefore, since the living entity is distinct from these planets and from the material body, against whom should he vent his anger? So he goes through, you know, you can't blame any of these different elements, whether it's time or fruit of work, for happiness and distress. And let's see, text 56 is, the false ego gives shape to illusory material existence and thus experiences material happiness and distress. The spirit soul, however, is transcendental to material nature. He can never actually be affected by material happiness and distress in any place, under any circumstance, or by the agency of any person. A person who understands this has nothing whatsoever to fear from the material creation. So Prabhupada's disciples give this purport. The Brahmana has refuted six specific explanations of the happiness and distress of the living entity, and now he refers any other explanation, any other explanation that might be given. On the basis of false ego, the bodily covering factually overwhelms the spirit soul, and thus one falsely enjoys and suffers that which has no real relationship with oneself. One who can understand the sublime teaching of the Brahmana spoken by the Lord to Uddhava will never again suffer. So Krishna is actually telling the story to Uddhava. He's relating what happened with the Avanti Brahmana. Will never again suffer the terrible anxiety of fear within this material world. So, in other words, referring to Buddhism, that happiness and distress are caused by attachment, right? Give up the attachment, you get rid of happiness, material happiness and distress. That's a fact. So, no, the first principle is the material world is full of happiness and distress, particularly distress. And then the second principle is it's attachment is the cause. Third principle is give up the attachment, you get free of that. And, of course, the fourth principle is you do it by following the Eightfold Path. That's what the Buddha say. And we also say by following Krishna consciousness, sadhana bhakti, and later on becoming bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, one can actually become aloof from happiness and distress. Now, here's the sannyas mantra. Maybe I shouldn't give it to all of you because it's, it will actually make you too detached. This is what we're taught when we take sannyas, in addition to the surrendering to the gopis mantra. Etam sa astaya paratma nishtam adyastitam purvatabhar maharshi bihi aham turishyami durantaparam atamo mukundagri nishevayaiva. And translation is, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, of course, this is also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm going to read some of the purport here, too. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows in his purport, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in connection with this verse, which is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.23.57. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance of the symbolic marks of sannyas is a regulated principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, text 1, it is also stated, Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karoti ya sa sannyasi chi yogi cha. That's a verse I made reference to before. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyas, but the attitude of service to Krishna is. Now, that's really interesting, because Prabhupada makes reference sometimes to one of his neighbors who lived next to him when Prabhupada was a grahasta, who put on sannyas robes during the day to collect money. Bhikshu. And then he turned all the money into his wife and family. And actually, that's what I was instructed. When you first take sannyas, here's the cape every sannyasi has. I was instructed wrongly about this cape. I was instructed that the cape is to protect you from women. You know, I mean, people just didn't understand. And that also I was instructed that Danda was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right. Some of you may have read about that. Prabhupada got really upset when he heard that people giving that explanation. Danda is symbolic, referring to one's body. There's actually called a tree danda, but there's actually four sticks in it. And tree danda means the body, mind, and words, and the fourth stick is the soul dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the cape is actually meant traditionally for collecting donations. And the sannyasi, there's different actually orders of sannyas, Kutichak, Bahudak, Parvajakacharya, Paramahamsa, like that. And the traditional type of sannyas, one would first reside in the same village that his family was residing in, and then his wife would send him food through his sons because he couldn't figure out how to eat. He was just so attached or, like, dysfunctional. Because, you know, you get fed every day. It's like, you know, you come to the Krishna Conscious Movement, you just come at 1:30 in the afternoon. For prasadam, everybody shows up and wakes up at that time. And so if there wasn't prasadam there, you just, what am I going to do? So it's like that when one first takes sannyasa, you know, who's going to cook for me? I remember one person whose wife left him from India, and his mother said, now you got to get married again. The guy was 45, 50 years old. I said, why? She said, so who's going to cook for you? He said, I know how to cook. And she said, really? So that was the first order of sannyas, you know, where one resides in the same village. Another second type is where one goes, you know, Madhukari, and goes from door to door and asks for one piece of pizza from everybody's house. he's a little more detached, but he's still thinking of food. And then the third order is Parvajakacharya. You just travel and preach, and you don't really worry about it. And the Paramahamsa order is you just stay in one place, and you're absorbed in your internal relationship with Krishna. And actually, that's why we say Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya about Prabhupada, because Prabhupada's on the topmost platform of sannyas, but he's acting for our benefit as a Parvajakacharya. You know, he's Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya. Usually they're distinct orders of sannyas. But a Paramahamsa doesn't preach Krishna consciousness. A Paramahamsa just remains there. He's in ecstasy. And he's absorbed in his relationship with Krishna, so not much opportunity to preach. And he sees everybody is serving Krishna. So he looks at everybody, well, everybody's serving Krishna, Hare Krishna. And so he becomes very compassionate, and he steps down and acts like a Parvajakacharya, which is what Srila Prabhupada did for our benefit. So in other words, Prabhupada sacrificed this highest ecstasy of, you know, just like being absorbed in Krishna Leela 24 hours a day out of compassion. This is actually the highest principle, that one sacrifices his or her own ecstasy to help others. And that's real sannyas. Generally, in this day and age, I want to also mention, if I have time, that sannyas is prohibited. That's one of the items that's prohibited in Kali Yuga, which is really interesting. Why is that? Because in Kali Yuga, people are basically cheaters. I mean, just like we heard, what was it, 2-3 days ago about the person who was in charge of one of the biggest theological colleges, you know, Baptist or something college. Anyway, I'm not going to mention his name. I remember his name. Don't mention it. And it just turns out that he was an absolute cheater engaged in illicit life. And then they asked for his resignation, and first he didn't give it, then he gave it, then he rescinded his resignation. And so this is the nature of Kali Yuga. You know, especially the principle of truthfulness is very quickly diminishing. So someone will act in a certain way externally, but be, you know, behind the scenes, he or she is something different. So that's why sannyas, because it's just a facade in generally in Kali Yuga. It's just a facade. I mean, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur talked about how many of the Babaji's, I'm not saying all of them, in Radhakund, they're keeping ladies, you know, they're having illicit relationships. And there's a facade. In Kali Yuga, there's so many pretenders. It's like a Hollywood set where you have, you know, some scaffolding. You know, there's the OK Corral. I don't know if you know what that means. There's like some sort of, anyway, I won't describe what that is. But there's some sort of movie set. And then you go behind the scenes. When I went to Hollywood when I was young, not to be an actor, just to see what it's like. And behind the scenes, it's just like scaffolding. So people are like that in Kali Yuga. You know, people are pretenders. And it's very hard to find someone who is genuine. So therefore, sannyasa in Kali Yuga is generally prohibited. The only time it's allowed is for the purpose of bringing people to Krishna consciousness. But it has to be given very, very carefully. And actually, the preferable order of sannyas, or renunciation, Kali Yuga, is called Kshetra sannyas. Even insofar as reference to people who are married. It's not that I don't encourage people who are married to just like drop their wife off and head for the hills or the forest or whatever. We say that the preferable order, which is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur stated, is Kshetra Sannyas, which means that one either remains in a holy place with one's family, one's wife, and preaches. And obviously there's no sense gratification anymore. It's not that you spend the rest of your life going to birthday parties of all your nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts and who else? Grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I mean, you can go to a birthday party. Even I do, but the point is that you spend the rest of your life serving either the deities or you're preaching Krishna consciousness. I mean, that's the preferable order of sannyas nowadays, because otherwise, sannyas can actually. I mean, in certain exceptional cases, yes, but one has to be very careful, as we've seen in our movement. So let's continue reading. This is very interesting, this topic of sannyas. The Paramatma Nishtha, that's part of the verse, means being a devotee of Lord Krishna. Paratma, the Supreme Person, Krishna Ishwara, Padma Krishna, Sachinanda Vigraha. Those who are completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna in service are actually sannyasis. So grahasthas can be sannyasis. Like Prabhupada talked about grahastha brahmacharis. So that's the point, complete dedication. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyas dress as the previous acharyas did. Lord Chaitanya accepted the 3 dandas later. Vishnu's actually had ekadanda. Ekadanda was broken into 3 parts by Lord Nityananda. This is interesting. Lord Nityananda just like broke the danda, so it was 3 parts. So it was because Lord Chaitanya, the reason Lord Chaitanya took ekadanda sannyas, and actually when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he actually shaved off his sika too and got rid of the Brahmin thread. That's the traditional method in our sampradaya of taking sannyas. It's like a Babaji type of sannyas, you know, with a lungi, wearing a lungi instead of a full dhoti. Now the reason, I guess I should talk about it, the reason we dress like this, or I dress like this as a sannyasi, and Prabhupada had his disciples dress like this as sannyasis, is because he was interested in preaching. So because this comes from Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, who studied 2 groups that were giving sannyas to see how successful they were. That is the Ramanujacharya sannyasis, who also dress in saffron. And who's that bogus group that Prabhupada studied again? Ramakrishna. Yeah, the Ramakrishna mission. So this is actually, so the dress we have was given to us by Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur specifically for preaching, so people would pay respects. That's the reason for the dress. And why not? Not that we want respect, but we want people to hear about Krishna. So that's why we have this dress. Otherwise, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because we want people to take Krishna consciousness seriously, and specifically in India. Of course, in the West, it's another subject matter. You know, if you tell someone that they're sannyas and they're not married, they'll think, does he have a problem? So in the West, I mean, in many cases, being a grahastha where you can entertain people in your home, like Prabhupada said, the business of a grahastha is before they eat is what? Cry out. If anyone's hungry, let them eat. So they actually, in one sense, grahasthas, like Prabhupada sent grahasthas where? To London. And they were more successful than the sannyasis, isn't it? So one has to, this is, of course, yukta vairagya, and also, as Prabhupada said, utility is the principle. And that's the real point of sannyasa. Thank you very much. We had a lot more to talk about, but Krishna didn't want to see me anymore. So all glories to divine grace to Prabhupada. Visvarup Mahotsava ki jai.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Shilabhopad, you guys.